Take this opportunity to make two technical announcements. The first is that our sponsor is Yosef and Devorah Wolf in memory of Yosef's mother, Esther Chaya Yablok Wolf, whose yahrzeit is the 5th of Tammuz. I don't see him. David Wolf's son. Anyway, the neshama should have aliyah. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. Also, on a technical note, it could be that next week is going to be the last shiur of the season. Stay tuned, I guess, to the email announcements. But if not next week, then the week after. But we will be taking our summer hiatus shortly. When is Rabbi Fran going until?
I think maybe next week.
Okay, there you go. Rabbi Kazak. Okay. Parshas Chukas is suffused with references to death. Of course, the opening of the parsha discusses the idea of Parah Aduma. And of course, that's brought on by death, the need for it. But I wanted to focus on two stories, or two references in the actual narrative of the parsha. One, which is later in the parsha, is the reference to Aaron's death. Aaron's death is actually one of the most famous descriptions in the Torah. In particular, this begins with the Chamishi Aliyah, the very beautiful, almost poetic language that the Torah gives to describe his death, Ye Asef Aharon El Amav. He was gathered to his people. It's such a beautiful, beautiful language and imagery. In fact, we know Chazal referred to Aaron's death as a Misas Meshika, and it describes here in detail here in this Aliyah at the end of Perchof, how he went up on the mountain, and this was how he died. He wasn't going to go there to Israel. And he prepares, he takes Elazar, his son, he brings him up on the mountain, Aaron undresses the special big day kahuna, because Aaron's the Kohen Gadol, and he transfers the leadership of the kahuna gadola to Elazar, v'helbashtem Elazar v'no, Aaron ye'aseif, Aaron was gathered, u'meisham, and Aaron dies on the mountain. V'ayas Moshe k'asher tziva Hashem v'alu al harahar le'enei kol ha'eda, Moshe goes up to the mountain, Moshe as Aaron as Bukadav, Yabeshusam Elazar, he addresses Aaron, he addresses Elazar, makes him the Kohen Gadol, but Yamas Aaron, Sham, Barosh Har, Hahar, and Aaron dies there on top of the mountain, Yard Moshe, Elazar, Min Ahar, and both Moshe and Elazar come down, but of course now absent Aaron. Yiru Kalehda, Ki Gava Aaron. Gava is a strange word, that he perished, right? They deduced that three went up and only two came down, that Aaron had passed away. V'yivku as Aaron shloshim yom, they cried for 30 days. Kol Beis Yisrael. In fact, the Medrash elaborates on this. It wasn't just that they cried; they were in such grief, they were furious. At first, they didn't believe; they were in denial. It's like this, like Kubler Ross's theory. They were in denial, and Moshe had to almost prove, according to the Medrash, that he was there. They were in such a grief that he died. So we have a relatively detailed description of his death. I mean, it's more than we have for almost any other great hero in Tanakh. And yet, with all that's described in this story, what is omitted? What are we never told? Exactly. There's no mention of him being buried. Presumably it happened, but it never is mentioned. The Meshech Chochma asked this question. The Meshech Chochma asks, why is it that there's no reference to his burial? Meshech Chochma gives an interesting answer. He suggests that because, especially in the time of the Midbar, pre-Mikdash, all that was needed to create a Kohen Gadol was the Levishas Begadav. Once he had Aaron's Begadav on, he was already a Kohen Gadol. What's the halacha for a Kohen Gadol? Is he allowed to be Metama Lemeis? Even for Shema Krovim? No. A Kohen Gadol cannot be. So who? He was buried. Yes. Aaron was buried. Of course he was buried. But who buried him? Not his own children. Not his own son. His brother, Moshe, buried him. Right? Now you would think on some level, Moshe buried you. That's a nice covenant. Says Meshech Chochma, it's a bizayon a little bit. It's a little bit of a bizayon to Aaron that he didn't. Right? In life, right, it's almost like a very primal need and expectation that we have. Who's going to bury us? Our children. And the fact, even though it's because he became the Kohen Gadol, the fact that Aaron didn't bury him, says Meshech Chochma, a theory, it's just a theory, but that is his theory. The shtickle bizayon, the whole story, is not the most what Aaron would have ideally wanted, and therefore it's omitted. That's the Meshech Chochma's theory. It's interesting, and it certainly raises the issue, if almost incidentally, of the issue of Kfura, of the mitzvah of Kfura, which I would like to discuss this evening. Now the truth is, if you think about it, No? Right, that's what Mashmacha says. He says, who buried Aaron? Not a lottery, but it was on the mountain. Moshe. So says the Mashmacha, how come the Torah didn't tell us that Moshe buried him? Because it's just a Zion to Aaron. It's an unbelievable statement. If the Mashmacha hadn't said it, I don't know if I could have. It's a little bit of a Zion to Aaron that never only Moshe buried him, and not his own son Aaron. Elazar. But it won't be written. Yeah. Huh? Right. And that's why he couldn't bury him. And still says the Mashiach Chacham, a very subtle point. So subtle that I think explain it well enough, apparently. So because he was Kohen Gadol, he couldn't bury him. And says the Mashiach Chacham, even though, of course, it's a nice thing, it's a nice nachas, that son became Kohen Gadol, but still there's something a little bit missing. If your own children don't bury you, you have to have someone else bury you, even if it's your brother and even if it's Moshe. Well, Moshe is his own story because Moshe doesn't seem to have, we don't know where he is. And Moshe is more mysterious. There's no one up there. I don't think so because there was no. We don't know what happened to him. I think Chazal said he buried himself. I don't think, you can take a look. I don't recall. I don't think it says it in the puzzle. I don't think so. We do have both explicitly. Let's try to focus. We do have explicitly and implicitly. Certainly a number of other references in the Torah to Kfuru. So for example, in our own Parsha, in the beginning of Parachaf, Vatamasham Miriam, Vatikaver Sham. We are told earlier in the Parsha, and I'll get back to this when I get to the Shita of the She'iltos, but here we're told in the very same Parsha explicitly that Miriam was buried. Aaron, we're not told. Miriam, we were told about. When else, what other burial stories do we have in B'chumish? What's the most famous one? Sarah is probably, I would say, the most famous. Right, Rock. Well, Moshe is asking for, I don't know if it doesn't say he was buried. But there was no one there. No one buried him. Right, Hashem buried him. Some Midrashim say he buried himself. Correct, but that's he's his own story. Give me, who can think of two other places, one explicitly and one implicitly, that the Torah discusses or implies burial? That's too esoteric. Yes, that's too implicit. Good. I wasn't even thinking of that. So two others. He was. We don't really told about the actual burial. I'm saying he was, kind of just. We mentioned Rachel before. Think halachic terms. These are halachic issues. Now I'm describing. Not stories. Halachas. Two other areas of halacha. Another way of saying it is that there's two other parshas I could have given the shiur on. Devorah? In the Chumash. Which Devorah? Oh. Okay. No. Meis Mitzvah is close. What is another? Where is there a specific mitzvah mentioned in the Torah to do a burial? There you go, that's one. Parshas Ki Seife. Kavor Sikvarano, it's going to be a main focus of our shir, right? In certain cases of Haruge Bezdin, we hang them up on a tree after they're dead, so everyone should see, Borei, this is what happens to you. But, after the first day, it's a mitzvah, Kavor Sikvarano, take him down and bury him. In fact, it's an Isra Daraisa to let him stay hanging overnight. Kavor Sikvarano, and an Isra Seir, Mitzvah Seir, to bury him. We'll have to see if that's just for Haruge Benson, or might that apply, like, Kilas Hashem, the Torah says, because there's also the Bizayon Hashem, to leave off somebody like that for everyone to see. And one more, which is, again, think halachically, a burial of a person, halachically, but this is implicit in the puzzle. No? A halachic makor. Halachic nafkamina. I'll give you a hint, it's in Vayikra. Don't be shy. There you go. In Parshas Emor, by Tumas Kohanim. Right? We say that the Kohen Gadol could be Metame, but a Kohen can be Metame. Well, for what? To play with the dead body? Forgive me. What is he being Metame for? To Sinavelis? To Sheshiva? To Sheshiva, you don't need to become Tame. The whole heter of a Kohen becoming Tame assumes that he's going to be burying the body. That's why he's allowed to do that. But if he wasn't going to be involved in the burial, if there was no mitzvah to bury, no obligation to bury, so So do whatever else you need to do. What do you need to become tamei for? That's the only thing that requires to become tamei is a burial. If you don't have a burial, there's nothing. What happened then? Right, right.
They didn't bury their brother.
Well, they got burned. Well, they got burned up.
I know, but the cousin buried. It says in the Torah that the cousin.
The bodies. Right, right. The ashes. It's interesting. I want to get to briefly, but later in the shiur I'll mention the issue of cremation. And there's a discussion: if somebody is cremated, do we bury them? Do we bury the ashes? But leave that aside for a moment. There are some very tragic shuvas that I was reading today about people who either stop a fire, you know, it could be a house fire, or from the Holocaust or things like that. What do you do? And there's a very strong, I mean, emotionally especially, but also halakhic mitzvah to bury those ashes. No question about it. I don't remember if anyone bring that makor, but that is certainly the makor if you had any habamina. Right, if that's what that girl's saying.
But their bodies were intact, it was just their insides.
Ah, okay, well, it depends on how you understand the suva. But pots, just they were burned. That's the pots.
Wouldn't be able to walk in that much as a buck body.
Right, so that's the shiloh. So the truth is interesting. Ashes, if you have someone who's burned up, it's not the tamei. It's not of the same status as a base klura ashes, which is why there's not a problem. But nevertheless, even though it's not a question of the tumma, we're still it's going to bury those ashes. Okay. The Mishnah. So the truth is that even though, again, we got at it from this week's parsha, primarily it's not a halakhic source, our parsha. It's just a mesha chachma that brings up the issue of Aaron's burial, which is not mentioned. Although we did see that Miriam's burial is explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and we'll have to see, at least according to one shita, that is a halachic makor, but for the most part, Bapashtus, it's not. Bapashtus, the source for the question of Pura in the Torah as a halachic makor in Chazal, is primarily discussed in context of the issue for Bapashtus Kisetsi of the Haruge Bezdin. The one who was killed, he's hanging, and there's the Los Asay, presumably, and perhaps an Asay, to make sure that he doesn't hang too long and that he's buried. Where is this discussed? This is discussed where you'd expect it, in the Sefer Sanhedrin, in Parak Nigmar Din, in the sixth Parak. The Mishnah, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, tells us about Kesat Tolano. So, how do you do this hanging of the person? And then it tells us, after a certain period of time, Matsurno Somiyad, we bring him down, Bimlon, but if you leave him over, again, without getting into details of how long that is, but if you leave him over too long hanging, over Allah Blosase, Shinemar Lo Solan Divlaswalais, Ki Kavora Tikvarenu, Ki Kilas Elokim, etc. So that's what it says in the Mishnah. Comes along the Gemara, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, and there are two Lashonos. And in the first Lashon, there is two Girsas. So it's a little bit confusing, but there are two Lashonos. The first version of the first pick of the Amri in the Gemara says, Amr B'yokalan Yishur Rav Shimon B'yachai, Minayin Lamal Nes Mesosh, Over Allah B'losase, Tomal Lomar, Ki Kavor Tikvarenu, Mikan Lamal Nes Mesosh, Over B'losase, period. So the first opinion in the Gemara says, this whole pasuk is learned as one halacha, Alosase, and it's not limited to Haruge Bezdin. Anyone who leaves over a dead body and doesn't bury them is over on a losase. Now, if you take a look on the side of the page, on the inside part, you have mamash in the margin. You have written Yirsas Hayalkut. I'm not sure what that means by Yalkut. I'm not sure, but Yirsas Hayalkut. All the Rishonim quote this. There's another version of this first opinion in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, listen carefully to the difference. Nayin lemalin esmei so shu over losase tamalomer lo solim divloso. So this version of the Gemara in the Girsa points out that there is not only a los asay of los solin, but there's also a mitzvah asay to bury of kavor tikvarenu. And according to this, we'll use this Girsa as our operative one for the first part of the Gemara. A los asay and an asay, number one. Number two, it's expansion, even though in the Pasuk and Chumash, it's talking about one specific case, someone who was killed by Beis Din. We expand on it and apply it generally. Number two. Number three, we're talking about Daraisas, right? We're quoting the Pasuk and Chumash. Minayin, that we have such a mitzvah, and a los asay and asay, these tzukim. That is the first opinion of the Gemara, which seems to say, even though the first example, the primary example in Kiseite is Haruge Bezdin, we expand it to refer to any dead person. However, the Gemara then continues. Second version of this. Ikka di Amri, an alternative version. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shema Yochai, remez lekvura min hatora minayin. Talmud Omar ki kavor tikvuranu. Mikan remez lekvura min hatora. Whereas the first girsa is minayin lamalan es meso. Talmud Omar ki kavor tikvuranu. Mikan lamalan es meso overblow sase. Here the lashon is remez min hatora. And many, not all, but we'll see, many Rishonim see this as a machlokas. Do you assume that the D'Oraisa is limited to Haruge Bezdin? Or do you think that that's just a model, a paradigm, but that it's expanded to any dead person? Just Visvara, just Vuskal Rishon. Why might you limit it to Haruge Bezdin, not just because it's written in the Torah? But why might you think that that's something unique? The Torah itself gives the answer. I keep telling Hashem, there's something uniquely horrific about this. On the one hand, it's a very fine line. It's a balancing act. On the one hand, we want to publicize it to hopefully warn people not to do it. On the other hand, the longer that's up, the more of a bizarre it is to Hashem. Right? We know the Gemara also in Sanhedrin tells us about this when it comes to a case of a Roveh and a Nirva, right? Right? So not only do we kill the person, we also kill the animal. What did the poor animal do? The answer is it's a Chil Hashem to have that animal walking around. The Gemara says, everyone's going to say, that's Yenim's cow. Right? It's a Chil Hashem. So in a similar way, he kill us Hashem. If you see somebody, even though someone who did such a terrible thing that they even had to be punished, so that itself is a Chil Hashem. On the one hand, we want to keep him up at least for a day, maybe, but after that, it becomes a Chil Hashem. So you could see, maybe that's unique. But maybe for everyone else, it's not a Daraisa. That is perhaps the two deos in the Gemara. Why? Oh, we'll get to the bracha. Good, that's a good point. We don't make a bracha. No one says we make a bracha. The question is why not? We'll get to that. So the Rambam discusses this in a number of places. I didn't take out the Sefer Mitzvos, but the Rambam does count this in the Sefer Mitzvos. Mitzvos Aseh Reish Lamed Aleph 231. The Rambam there says there's a Mitzvos Aseh to bury Haruge Bezdin and Hu Adinami L'chol Shar Mesim. I'll take my word for that. In the Sefer Mitzvos, you can look it up. And I'll read you the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Avil. Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, the following Shiloh, which we'll see is the Gemara. I want to get to it in a minute. But now just to quote you this, because you see the Rambam paskening. What happens if someone says in their will, I don't want to be buried? Machlokes, I don't want to be buried. So the Gemara asks that Shiloh. The Gemara asks the Shiloh. So leave aside the Gemara's analysis of it. The Gemara says it gives two tzadim. Mikanu l'kanu. We'll get back to that. The Rambam paskens. Im tziva shelo yikavar ein shomin lo. We do not listen to the person. We bury them even if they explicitly told us, right, they authorized the will with a lawyer and everything, and it's a stamp. It doesn't matter. 100 witnesses. It doesn't matter. You don't want to be buried? Too bad. We're going to bury them. Why? Shakvura mitzvah. This kvura is a mitzvah. You can't be over a mitzvah against. We're not going to let you do that. Shneamar ki kavor tikvarenu. So again, that's shitasa with what he says in the Sefer Mitzvos. The chinuch mitzvah tough kuf lamed zayin. That's in Kisete 537. The smag, the tashbeit in the Zohar Harakia. All agree, based on the pasuk of Kavor Tikvarenu, for all people, not just Harugi Bezdin, there is a mitzvah saseh min HaTorah to be buried. Yes. Good. We'll get to it. Good question. The She'iltos, I mentioned the She'iltos before, the She'iltos in She'ilta Kuf Lamed Gimel also says that it's a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa to be buried. And what's his makor? The pasuk by Miriam. You can imagine that's not so simple. You take a look at the Hamei Shela there, and it's the whole discussion. But that's what he says. For our purposes, we'll just mention. And if you look at an earlier She'ilta, he quotes Kavur Tikvarenu and uses it for a completely different thing. He clearly does not hold of it. He must hold that it's limited to the Haruge Bezdin. Perhaps like that second Lishon in the Gemara, that everyone else is only the Rabbanon from Kavur Tikvarenu. It says She'iltos, don't think there's only the Rabbanon. It's a Daraisa. The Daraisa is the Pasuk of Miriam. Okay, that is the shita of the Rishonim that we just mentioned. It should be noted, however, that in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daas Mem Zayin, the Rabbeinu Hananel says explicitly mitzvah zu mid rabbanan hi. Says Rabbi Yochanano, burial is a mitzvah, yes, but not a mitzvah the rice mitzvah mid rabbanan. The Radva is in a tshuva. Says the same thing that the mitzvahs chavos yoyer in a tshuva. Also the same thing that the mitzvahs asay is limited to harugei bezdin. For anyone else, it's only mid rabbanan. Furthermore, Rav Sajja Gaon counts the mitzvah of kfura in his parsha where he discusses mitzvos hamutalos al hatzibur. This is when were you and I obligated to bury Yenam's father. So some suggest the discussion, but perhaps he's going in this notion, namely, what does he mean by that? He's referring to Harugei Bezdin. Harugei Bezdin, who's supposed to bury? When the Pasuk says, Pasuk Chumash, they say, take a man and bury them. Whose chiyuv is that? It's the communities, it's the Bezdins. Adarabah, it's not the family. Right? Family of a Haruge Bezdin does not keep Avelus. There is no Avelus for someone who's killed by a Bezdin. Right? It's a human tragedy for the whole family. I'm sure it's emotional, but that's not our point tonight. Halachically, there's no Chiyuv Avelus on the family. So who does Baltalin? Who does Kovetz Kvarno by Haruge Bezdin? The Bezdin, i.e. the Tzibur. So perhaps the Shadjigon is also limiting the mitzvah asay to Haruge Bezdin, which is why he calls it a Chavos Tzibur. And again, maybe he's part of this Tashbetz, Radvaz, Chavos Yoyer, Rabbeinu Chananel school, who hold it is a mitzvah nirabanan. Suffice it to say, if you take a look in the Nechemed, he tries to do a collection, you know, Allah, Rav Avadya, this and this. And the Nechemed says, Rov Rishonim hold, like we saw from the Rambam, and the Ramban, and the Chinuch, that it is a mitzvah da'araisa from Kavor Tikvarenu, Pashtus.
Who
it's on, so let's for now assume the Pashtus, the family. We'll see, it's a little bit more complicated, but we'll assume that for now. The Gemara, a little bit later on, has a discussion here on Daf Mem Vav Beis, going back but a little bit after what we had seen, where I want to get to what I mentioned from the Rambam, which is the following. Let me find it. Okay. I'm not sure why I'm not finding it inside the Gemara, excuse me. But basically here on Memvav Beis, the Gemara asks the Kasha, again, we saw this already passing in the Rambam, but I want to go through and show you the language of the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question, somebody who says, I don't want to be buried, the Gemara asks the question, what is the purpose of Kfura? Why do we do Kfura? So the Gemara suggests two reasons. One is Bizayon. To leave a body around is a Bizayon. Bizayon for who? So Rashi and Tosfos both say for the family. To have your father lying around like that, rotting, is a Bizayon. Ramban says, and we'll see this quoted shortly, Ramban says it's Bizayon for the whole world. It's a design for humanity. For human beings to be treated this way is designed for all humanity. But that's one side in the Gemara that is bizayon. The second side in the Gemara is kapara. Why is burial a kapara? I don't know. This is from the Malam and Ateva part of Torah, the Nistarim. The Gemara says it's either kapara, perhaps the body getting decomposed, going back to its earthly origins, perhaps it's kapara. Or perhaps it's Bizayon. Frag the Gemara, Lamai Nafkamina. Who cares? Says the Gemara, for this case, a guy who says, I don't want to be buried. If it's just a din in his own kapara, he's allowed to be mochel on his kapara. I don't want kapara. I don't believe in kapara. But if it's a din in Bizayon, his family's Bizayon, we don't have to be mochel. He has no right to be mochel on it. What?
Yeah.
We have that in general. He's dead already now. He's dead. The Rambam said Malkin Asher Omerotzani can happen in a number of ways. Tviya b'mitzvos, which is a completely foreign concept to us, but in the time of Chazal, could have happened on any mitzvah. The famous one you're referring to is about Gershon, not about the Karpa. So it applies to anything. Kfiyah b'mitzvah was. So it has nothing to do with kapara.
What?
Say the kfiyah b'mitzvah is a general thing. Even a mitzvah has nothing to do with kapara.
Kapara itself is a mitzvah.
Who said?
Carbon
is bringing a carbon is a mitzvah. That's not the same thing as saying kapara is a mitzvah. Anyway, the point is a person doesn't have to do it. The Gemara, it's a beferish in the Gemara. It's a beferish in the Gemara. Midin kapara, a person doesn't have to do it. What's not beferish in the Gemara is how do we paskin? In fact, the Ramban says it's in a Bible of Shito, and the Ramban agrees with the Pesach. We already mentioned the Rambam, but the Ramban says it's because it's Safek L'chumra. We don't know. However, it's striking now that we saw this Gemara. Let's go back to what we saw from the Rambam. When the Rambam paskin that someone who says, don't bury me, ain't shomim lo, what, now that we've seen the Gemara, what did we expect the Rambam to tell us? That it's midin? Bizayo. Din bizayo, and then you don't listen to him. But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, ki kfura mitzvahi. I don't know. That's exactly the point. What's going on? What? So the Achronim asked this question in two different directions. It's fascinating. Many Achronim asked the Kasha, like the Lecha Mishnah and others. Why didn't the Rambam give the reason of the Gemara? Gemara is giving the quote-unquote real reasons. Whether Kfura is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara says it's telling you what the reason of the mitzvah is. If it's for Bizayon or if it's for Kapara. So how come the Rambam didn't mention that? And other Achronim, it's interesting, ask the Kasha almost anachronistically, given that Kfura is a mitzvah, why didn't the Gemara just say that? What's the Gemara barfing in Svaras? The Gemara just should have said, what's the Shaila? Of course. Okay, not because of Kapara. It's half of what you said. Not because it's Kapara. Because it's a mitzvah. Who knows why it's a mitzvah? Who cares? A person can't be Michael on a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So it's the same question, in essence. It's just a question of whether you ask it, so to speak, on the Gemara, ask it on the Rambam. But what's going on? Assuming it is a mitzvah, why did the Gemara say that? And once we have the Gemara, why did the Rambam quote the Gemara? So that's the shaila that many, many ask. The Lecha Mishnah, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's back to Jerry's question on who the mitzvah is
on. Yeah, we'll get to it. Good. Very good. So the Lecha Mishnah and Hilchos Zechiyah Matana asked the Kasha, and he kind of is dochuk. He doesn't really have an answer. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why he didn't quote himself. Because the Lecha Mishnah and Hilchos Evel also discusses this. And he gives the following answer. He says that the Gemara is based on an assumption that there is no mitzvahs asay. Why? Because it's going according to the second Mishnah in the Gemara. The second Mishnah in the Gemara said, Remez min haTorah. It's only a mitzvah min Rabbanon. So the mitzvah of the Rabbanon, the Gemara asks, why would the Rabbanon misaken a mitzvah? Oh, maybe they did it for kapara, maybe they did it for bezayon. However, the Rambam, as is prerogative, and many other Rishonim, a pot's getting like a lishnakama, like the first part of the Gemara, and therefore they assume it's a mitzvah d'araisa, therefore you need to even come on to the second part of the Gemara, because obviously someone says, I don't want to do a mitzvah, of course we don't listen to them, and we bury them. That is the answer given by the Lecha Mishnah here in Hilchos Evel. The only problem with that is, then you make this whole continuation of a Gemara lo li with the Hilchosa, which we don't like to do and we don't have to. Right? It's a very fundamental question. It's like a Hakira Gemara. So we did this, we did that. It would be a little bit nebuch if that was lo li with the Hilchosa. But that is at least the theory of this Lecha Mishnah. There's a sefer that I saw quoted in a number of other svarim. I've never heard of it before, and I never saw it inside. It's called Chaye Olam, and it's primarily Chilufei Mechtovim. It's primarily letters back and forth from Gedolim. I'm not even sure exactly of the chronology of this. I think it's at least 100 years old, but I'm not sure. It's a lot of letters back and forth about Inyane, Kfura, and things like that. And there they suggest, also have a big discussion about this, and they have quoted from one of those Rabbanim, Dachlik answer, I think, but it's theoretically another answer, that perhaps the case is referred to, perhaps the Rambam is specifically referring to a case where you did what I will call the equivalent of a mausoleum. As you put the body in an aron, but you don't bury the aron. So the assumption is, which I think is a good one, if you don't see the body, there is no bizayon. The bizayon is the rotting of the body. So you're not going to see that out of sight, out of mind. There's no bizayon. A person, the Gemara itself has already told us the person has the right to mochel on covet. And there's not going to be any bizayon. So comes along the Rambam and says, you know what, we're still going to ignore him. Because there's a third thing. Namely, there's a mitzvah to have kvura. And let's say someone has in the will, I want to have him be buried in a mausoleum, which is basically meaning not being buried. In a pyramid.
Well, it's not so far-fetched. I think in New Orleans, they bury them above ground.
Do they really? There's no burial below ground in New Orleans? Okay. Any Odea. Right, but they were underground, I think. I think so.
They used to bury.
There's whole discussions in Rishonim also, burying one on top of the other. And there's a big shayla, huge discussions from Moshe and Tshuvas about how far, what the distance is, how close can you compact them. Yeah. If they could. Right, if they could, right. There's a whole discussion. Yeah, this is a discussion, exactly. Okay. Whatever we'll say about this Rambam and Hilchos Evel and Perek Yud Beis, which we had already a problem with the Gemara, but maybe we have one or two different answers to help us, we have a different problem. Not a problem, which is maybe even more difficult. Two Prokim later, in Perek Yud Dalid, the Rambam says the following, a famous Rambam, we've learned it before. Mitzvahs Asei Shel Divrehem. There is a mitzvah mitzvah Rabbanan, Vakar Cholim, Menachem Avelim, Lahotzi Ameis, Ulehis Asek, Bechol, Sarkei HaKavura, Lelech, Lefonov, Lispod, Lachbor, Likvor. Burial, says the Rambam, is a mitzvah mitzvah Rabbana. Two prokim later, Perek Yedalid, Pasuk, Halacha Aleph, Mitzvahs Asei, Shel Divrehem. So many Achronim I saw, for example, the Pri Chodesh has a Sefer on Rambam. I actually saw a new printing of it in Shabbos this week called Mayim Chayim. Mayim Chayim is either a Chassidish Sefer or a Sefer on Mikvah, which could be a Chassidish Sefer on Mikvah, or it's the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh is a Sefer on the Rambam, it's called Mayim Chayim. So he asked the Shaila, others asked the question. Seems to be two prakim back to back, the Rambam is closer himself. So one answer that's suggested, I saw there's a sefer, a beautiful sefer, I actually just recently bought the third volume, and it's Basharit, because this is in the third volume, which is printed, called Mitzvah HaMelech. I think I may have quoted this before, by Rav Cement from Chicago Tells. So in his third volume of the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, he quotes a sefer which I never heard of, who suggests that maybe the difference is the actual kvura, the ikur kvura, and the hachanos. What's discussed here, although it's a little bit dachuk, because at some point I read, right, it said that to be chofer and to be kover. So that little bit of it makes it a little bit shver. But at least until you got to that word kover, everything about that was the hachanos. The funeral, the hespedim, the walking, the digging, that's all the hachanos. The actual burial, maybe that's the daraisa, and everything else is the rabbana. So, aside from the fact that it's stam, not an exciting answer, but I think it's also dachuk, because one of the things the Rambam here says about the Derabbanan is likvor. So, I don't know how you get out of that. That's answer number one. You may know that there's a whole group of Achronim who are Mefarshim on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. We don't really know what happened too much from them in anything else, but they have some funny names in there in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. So one of them is the Lev Sameach. And the Lev Sameach discusses this in the Rambam and the Shrashim. Again, we don't have time, but in both Shorish Aleph and in Shorish Beis, because the issue has to do with the Raisins and the Rabbanans, and has to do with how you count things, the Rambam mentions these things in the Shrashim as well. And in the Lev Sameach, he suggests the following. He's Mechavin to bury. And he says, you can be Mechalik not between the Ikar versus the Achanos, rather the family versus the community. That the whole Sibur is Chayiv, but that's only the Rabbanan.
It's like Milas Chasson.
Which is exactly what is discussed in Perek Yedaled. This is all Gemilas Chasadim tied into Vihatar Chakamacha. Exactly. As opposed to the family, the Sheva Avelim, so they are Chayev Mita Oraisa. And in fact, he has another Raya, which is that in another place, the Rambam Hilchos Sanhedrin refers to, when he's talking about Nate Mitzvah, or somebody who's not buried when he has family, the Kal She'enu Kover may so, is violating this mitzvah. Add the vav, may so his mace, but the chiyuv is on the family. As opposed to in other places, like here, he doesn't have that qualification, and as you said, Alan, he's talking in general about Gemilas Chasadim. Correct, I'm not talking about that. I said, if somebody's not buried, says, but who's mevatel that? I'm not talking about the chiyuv that the bury. Say, who's mevatel? He focuses on what's the chiyuv of the burying? On may so for your dead person, i.e., for your relative. It's interesting, the Gesher HaChayim, the classic work of Hilchos Avelos by Rav Chilmechel Tukhachinsky. So I have two Ha'aras that I learned, I've had the Sefer for years, I use it a lot. It's kind of eclipsed by more recent Sfarim, but this is Mamish, the Bible, of all Sefer Kitzur almost, and certainly of Hilchos Avelos Sfarim. So Rav Tukhachinsky, who's some kind of the whole Mechitza of Rav Kook, that whole generation of Yerushalayim, Tikkun Gedolim, Tikkun Frank, Rav Kook, that whole Chevra. So he, Chelek Aleph of the Gesher HaChayim is where almost all the Halakha L'maaseh stuff comes in, and for it's a two-volume work. I never looked at the other volume. I've owned it all these years. I never really looked at it. I looked at it today because there he has like issues which are more in-depth essays. The first one is more even than the modern day Sefer Kitzur, but it's basically Kitzur Dinim with his discussions. But that's in Volume Aleph, and he discusses Kvura and a lot of things we spoke about more B'Kitzur. But then in the second Chelek, he has a whole chapter on Kvura more B'Iyun. Agav, he references in that essay, in a discussion, he says, I've had a discussion with a Talmud Chacham Sawyer Mufla of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Now, the Sefer, I looked, and he writes in parentheses, I didn't bring it in, I highlighted it, and I made an asterisk next to it, and I folded down the page. I was so excited to see this, because he writes about how this person has such a Bekiyas and Kolotar Kula, he knows even Sifrei Achronim, and I had a Shilas of Shifas Frank was from the Gedolei Yerushalayim, and I was curious, is any Achronim speaking about that? So I asked him, Shlomo Zalman, you know, are the Achronim speaking about this topic? So the Sefer was published 60 years ago, Pesach. So how old was Shlomo Zalman? And he must have been in his 30s, I guess, right? Would have been in his 30s 60 years ago? Younger? How old will you be now? Right, so he would probably say. So it's interesting, Tukhachinsky was already a Zaken Hador, but it wasn't like he was a 10. This is not like an art school book. He wasn't 10. Okay, but still, in his early 30s, he was already. You have Tukhachinsky, I mean, you don't hear one go to write about him like this in the middle of a halakha book. It was really amazing to find. What I also found, which is beautiful, which I don't have time to get into, he elaborates on this idea of the Sibur versus the family. He doesn't like it so much for certain tactical reasons to answer this, but he's a believer in that general chiluk, and he actually has a more sophisticated, subtle theory. He actually suggests there's three dinim. Fascinating. I'll just tell you very, very kitzer without giving you the rayas. One is, he says, stop, the mourners, the avelim, chiv d'araisa teberi, midin parshas emor tumas kohanim. You see from that, if there's a chiyuv d'araisa to bury, ad kedekach, they don't even be mevatel kedushas kohuna. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Avel in Perek Beis, when he quotes that, he makes that kal vachomer. You see how big the idea of preparing the dead body is, it's even going to be mevatel kedushas kohuna. So says of Tukhachinsky, that implies that it's obviously a chiyuv d'araisa on everybody, not just the kohanim. Kol shekhen, even the kohanim, but certainly even us. Number one. Number two, says of Tukhachinsky, second din d'araisa, what if you have a mace mitzvah? There are no relatives. Or you have a case like a Haruge Bezdin with our relatives, but they don't have a Chiyav Avelis. So then he says there's a Chiyav Araisa on the whole Tzibor. Midin, Kavor Tzikvarenu. Kavor Tzikvarenu. If there's mamash no relatives, it could be mace mitzvah. But if there are relatives, either they aren't doing it, or they're potter halachically, so then it's Kavor Tzikvarenu. That's when he says Kavor Tzikvarenu applies, and it's a Araisa. Third is, he says, what if you have a person who has relatives who are burying him, and there's a mitzvah mitar abanan to join the family and help them? Which is, that last point is the chiluk that we saw from earlier Achronim. But he has this whole essay where he goes through all the Rambams. We thought there were three Rambams, say, for a mitzvah, for a gebez, and for a gedalad, and he tries to show how it's meduyuk in each of the three, those three dinim.
One question.
I don't have time. I'm sorry. I have how much? 2 minutes. I want to just get to a few more things. Last thing, which is very interesting, this Mitzvah HaMelech of cement, He, based on a Kli Chemda, which is really based on a Medrash Rabbah, has a very original idea. He suggests that there's two dinim in burial, but different than we saw until now. There's the Gemilas Chesed approach, and then it's within the Gemilas Chesed din, which is the Rabbanon, the Gemara wanted to know, which type of Gemilas Chesed? So he shouldn't even have the Zion, or he should get Kapara? But all that is a Chesed that we're doing for the person. Right? For his relatives, for him, that's a Chesed we're doing for them. However, he says, what's the Daraisa? If you will, if you forgive the cliche, it's a din in the Chetza. A mace is taught in burial. Why? Based on the Pasuk in Paragimel and Bereishis, right, from dust to dust. You have to be returned, and he show you, there's a Bereishis Rabba, which I would have been nervous to quote such a thing halachically, a Bereishis Rabba on that Pasuk, that says, basically, there's a chiyuv to return, like a hashava, to return the body to the dust. And the Kli Chemda in Bereishis quotes the Baal Avnei Nezer, it's not in the Tshuvas, but he says, he heard from the Sakachev Rebbe, that if you don't bury someone, it's an Isser Gezela. From the ground. So it says, that halacha, so if you will, in the Chetza, as long as it's like a cliche to make fun of briskers, right? The gavra of the Chetza is dead or alive. So this is what he says seriously. He says, there's a din in the gavra, that's Milas Chesed, it's Zion, it's Kapara, whatever it is. Daraisa is really from dust to dust, it's a din in the Chetza. He then adds, perhaps you can make it like Barry's Horto, because once you're talking about Gemilas Chesed, Gemilas Chesed applies to Kol Klal Yisrael. But if you talk about it, didn't the Chetza, quote unquote, the body's dead. Who's going to be a Chayev? So Mestama, it's the Avelim, it's the relatives who are a Chayev to make sure that this Chetza, so to speak, is returned. Just like Lahavdil, I don't know if he said exactly what I'm saying it, but Lahavdil, if your father stole and then you inherit stolen property, you have a Chayev HaShava. Right? Not the whole Klal Yisrael, you have a Chayev HaShava. Okay. Just to mention quickly two more points. One is the Bracha. You asked about a Bracha. So the Stechemet quotes has a discussion about this. Kuczynski has a discussion about this. Why no bracha? I there's a bracha on Kriya, but even that's not a bracha, it's a mitzvah. We don't say Shekhar Shemitzvah of the Tzivano. So why not? So different theories. The one answer is because the Kesher Chaim says if the mitzvah nimsheches, there's no end to it, or at least we can't define the end, because the mitzvah is ongoing until the body completely decomposes. And therefore, since we don't know where the mitzvah ends, we're not going to just make a bracha in the beginning. He asks on himself from a Sfirasa Omer. He gives an answer, which is a little bit gothic, though, but that would get us back into our Parshas Emor room. We did not discuss too much Kohanim, but we discussed Sfirasa Omer and Parshas Emor. So, I don't want to get into that, but it's a footnote. He asks a question on himself. He tries to give an answer, but okay. A second answer that some Achronim give is? Peron L'chavero. The problem is, as Rav Shechter in an essay very beautifully pointed out, and I discussed in the Gemara Shir and Kedushin on Kibbut Avein, we have many riyas that you don't have Mitzvah Kibbut Avein, Ben Chavero Achra Misa. So you can have a Mitzvah Ben Chavero after the person's dead. That's a little bit shver, but that's an answer that's suggested. One other answer is some Achronim, the Binyamin Zev, for example, suggests that any mitzvah, any action, which is widely done by non-Jews as well, so it may be a mitzvah for us, we don't make a bracha, because you can't say about such a mitzvah, Asher Kiddush Shanu, so-so. Because they do it too. And finally, I heard something very beautifully in a shir by Rabbi Binyamin Tabori, who's a Rebbe in the Gush. So he wanted to give the following explanation. Rav Moshe Feinstein asked the Shaila, why is there... Rabosai, please. He asked the Shaila, why don't we make a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriya? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and Rav Moshe says it's because it's Bizman Peronis. We don't make a bracha on something that's so difficult and tragic. That's Rav Moshe. So if Tabori says, perhaps that's a good enough reason for Kavura, for Kriya, that there should be a little Chara Svar, why don't make a bracha on Kavura as well. I just want to conclude with the following, so to speak, more halacha lemaisa stuff. So first of all, there's a famous Ramban in the Torah Adam who points out the Kavura means in the ground. Not just in an Aron, but in the ground. However, says Ramban, it's okay if it's in an Aron. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Shin Samach Dalid. This is halacha l'maisa for every one of us. You're allowed to be buried in an aron, but l'chachila you should be buried straight into the ground. So the Shach and others point out that, well, maybe the aron has a hole in it, which is our minug, or perhaps there's a way, again, I don't know which contraptions they have, we have some contraptions, where you can pull out the bottom board. They have discussions. This is not like a modern thing. It was discussed in the Shach. In Shulchan Aruch, they discuss this concept. One more point. Two more points. Also, concrete vaults. But I never saw such things until I got to Baltimore. So Rav Moshe has a discussion about this. The Gesher HaChaim also discusses this. And it points out that since it's earthenware, concrete, so it still considers that you're in the ground. What if it would be a lead vault where your mama sat in the ground? So that's not a good thing. No one would be happy about it. But some Achronim say, in various other contexts, you know, there's a minhag which I don't get into, where we put dirt in the, you know, on the mouth or the eyes of the mace. So perhaps maybe that'll be enough. But certainly that's not a good thing. If it's a concrete vault, since that's earth, it's cheres, so that's okay. This all relates to these two things. This famous Ramban and that Shulchan Aruch relate to two things. One is mausoleums. I mentioned already, mausoleum is not kfura. That's the famous in this Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch quoted. Igros Moshe has a tshuva about this. Dain Weissman, Chatzitzchak has a tshuva about this. It's interesting. Rav Yisrael Chanan Spector had a tshuva of the following. Apparently, the Goyim were going around. They needed for medical schools bodies. So I don't know what kind of country this was, but like these scandals that happened like in Florida a few years ago. So this is the government doing it. It was done. The government would go and dig up bodies. So what did people do? You had to bribe. But that cost a lot of money. So they asked the Shai, because you had to have a guard. The bribe, you had to guard what? So they asked the Shaila the following. Could they have a body in a mausoleum until it decomposed? And once it decomposes, then the government's not going to want it. And the Rizal Khan inspector said, yes. Put some dirt in the body, but you know, you're doing it with shame, covered a mace, ultimately. And therefore, that's the one heter I know, so to speak, for a mausoleum. And finally, just to give you some Aaron Makamas, there's a discussion in this light about cremation. Right? That's obviously not kvura. And in fact, there's a discussion here about this. The Gesher Chaim quotes this, the Kolbo Alavelus, which is not the Kolbo, but it's Greenwald, who was a rabbi in Columbus, a very famous Rav in Columbus, a generation ago, or maybe more, two generations almost. So he has a classic Sefer on Avelus. So he discusses this, and they come out mamish eshel hava, no pun intended, against cremation. He points out that he quotes history book of the Romans. Apparently, cremation was very popular in the Roman Empire. The way you knew a Jewish dead person was if it was buried, not cremated. That was such a simon of being Jewish. How can it come that the Sechemet quotes that maybe it would be an Isra Chukas Akum to have cremation? And certainly, it's considered to be a kfira in Tchias HaMesim. It's connected to Yisrael, Mamish, the post can go wild on it. I'll just close with the following story. We had a kfura in the community this week of a sibling of a member of ours. The sibling's children are unfortunately rachok min haTorah. And the mace, the nefteres, I should say, she wanted a traditional funeral, Baruch Hashem. But the daughter had no interest. After the funeral, the daughter came to me and said to me, I didn't realize how rachok the daughter was until then. She said, you know, when I knew that my mom's will wanted a traditional Jewish burial, I was upset. My mom wanted it, so we did it. But I'm not into this. In fact, I had in my will that me and my husband were going to be cremated. But this was such a beautiful thing, I'm really going to rethink it. Halavai. Good Shabbos. Yeah.